Far From Home. Written by Tasha Blythe. Narrated by Aaron Miller. Leyline of Serensei, they called her. The wind spirits that flowed over the fields of nodding red butterballs, flowers that were so named because when you sniffed at them, they left a smear of sparkling crimson on your chin like a dab of melting butter. But Leyline was too formal a name, as she saw it anyway. To herself, she was merely Lolly, an orphan left to fend for herself in a brand new world. A world of promise, truth be told, far better than the one she had left behind. Yet Lolly remembered the looks of desperation on her parents' stark white faces, the clenched jaws, and the love blazing out of eyes bright with magic as they'd shoved her through the portal in defiance of the encroaching dark and the unspeakable terrors closing in.
"Come with me, please,"
she'd been trying to say, tears choking her throat along with the dust and debris, but deep down she had known the futility of her plea. Her mama and dada had used up their entire joint strength, their waning powers of sorcery to conjure the portal, to force it inch by inch to Lolly's size, and to hold it steady while they ushered her through. Seconds later, it shrank to the size of one of their cook Marjorie's small griddle cakes, and then to dada's watch face size. Lolly clung to the edge of the portal with the fingers of both hands swinging from it as if her weight could rip it back open.
"No, no, don't leave me."
But the doomed world reduced itself to a pinprick, flinging Lolly to the ground, her fingers burnt and stinging as if it had no further use for her, as if the only world she'd ever known no longer knew her, nor wanted the smallest part of her ever again. Then even the pinprick was gone as Lolly lay cursing and railing at the heavens. Days, she watched that same piece of sky eking out her existence with sparse and measured sips from the water canteen at her waist, and crumb by drying crumb in the leather pouch, but no portal reappeared. No glimpse of Serensei, of Mama and Dada, only blank and empty air. Lolly may well have died there in the fields of Lotharion, in her dazed and half-starved grief, were it not for the two cursed and interfering trolls that dragged her, arms flying and fists swinging from bruised and flattened butterballs. Or at least, that's what she called them.
"Leave off, you beastly trolls, you misbegotten slime-eaten sods!"
"Hey, whoa there, young missy. Hold up a minute,"
came a calm and measured and most definitely human voice.
"We mean you no harm, young Nathaniel and I. We've been listening to the wind spirits, that's all. Telling tales by our fireside. They sang to us through the flames of a fellow sorcerer's child in need of our aid."
"Leave me be. I want no aid,"
Lolly cried, her soul far more crushed than the butterballs, and her heart a leaden weight within her.
"Not from you, not from nobody."
"Well, don't that beat all, father," a boy's voice chimed in, that of a stripling youth. "Her poor parents gave up their lives for her, or so the vision showed us in the fire, and yet here she is, happy to throw it away the first chance she gets." Lolly's cheeks heated and a sob rose in her chest as she curled into a ball of ragged cloth and tangled sunset hair.
"Hush, Nathaniel," the older man chided. "Have you no sensitivity, boy?"
"No patience for sulky girls, rather," came the snarky reply. Lolly uncurled.
"Damn you, you mean rat,"
she spat at the boy, Nathaniel, who stood over her tall and fine in the embroidered sky blue robes of an apprentice sorcerer. She bunched her fists at him.
"I'll show you, sulky girl."
The sky blue eyes that perfectly matched his robes glinted at her under a mop of dark chestnut curls as he set his hands on slim hips. "Will you now?" The older, taller, broader man, garbed in deep magenta, elbowed the boy aside.
"Never mind my son. He's a bit full of himself, he is. It's the age, you know."
He reached down a square, brown, and shapely hand.
"Truly, let us help you, my dear, even if it's only to honor what I'm sure must be your parents' wishes."
With a resigned nod and turning her face deliberately away from the irritating youth, Lolly took the older sorcerer's hand, allowing herself to be drawn gently to her feet. For the next 6 years, Lolly made her home with the widowed sorcerer Harland, his motherly housekeeper Maisie, and the full of himself boy, Nathaniel. Harlan, fatherly and wise, coaxed and guided and praised Lolly hour upon patient hour as he taught her the sorcerer's art in place of her lost parents. Maisie clucked and fussed diligently over her new little prize chick. This one, female, pressing and twitching shining cloth and braiding hair into fancy twists. Nathaniel, meanwhile, goaded and challenged Lolly, smugly looking down on her from his superior height and more advanced knowledge. "I thought you came from sorcerer's stock," he sneered, the first day he'd been left in charge of her lessons, a fully fledged sorcerer in his own right. "It hardly seems like it." He rubbed his firm chin, now sporting a fine layer of stubble. "Maybe the vision lied."
"You're only 2 years older than me. No need to act like it's 10.
Lolly flicked him a disdainful look.
"Oh, that's right. You always have done. But then some boys, I suppose, are born bullies from the cradle."
She tipped her head to the side, one finger to her bottom lip, feigning deep thought.
A little something lacking you have to make up for, perhaps?
He folded his arms on the scarred workroom bench and studied her like she was a child with a muddy face and no front teeth.
"Bigger than your boots, aren't you, Leyline of Sarensay? But then, unlike my father, I saw that right off the bat."
She jutted her chin and glared at him from under her eyelashes.
"If you say so."
"I do, flame hair." He jeered, flicking at her Titian braid with his magic and setting it swinging. "Naturally, you're the one with something to prove. Whereas me..."
He placed a long-fingered hand, adorned with a ring bearing the family crest, against his chest.
"I'm perfectly secure in my abilities, my birthright, and my calling."
Seething and muttering under her breath with an angry spurt of magic, Lolly sent a buzzing gnat up Nathaniel's superior nose.
"Yeah, insufferably so."
Without batting an eyelid, he snapped his fingers, fizzling the gnat to nothing.
"Confidence, it's called," he said, straightening to his full height and peering down at her over the bench. "You might want to grow some."
Rolling her eyes, Lolly twisted her braids into a protective coronet.
"When did you say Harlan was coming back again?"
6 weeks, he smirked. "So you better get down to work. You won't want him to be disappointed by your lack of progress when he gets back. Now, will you?"
Lolly grit her teeth.
"You're his only disappointment."
"If you say so." Nathaniel repeated back to her, his eyes glinting and a slightly feral grin teasing the corner of his mouth.
3 weeks later, Lolly sat at the breakfast table cutting the last of her honeyed griddle cake into dainty bite-sized pieces. Raising her eyebrows at Maisie fretting in the chair by the kitchen fire, she said,
"Why have you been muttering over your prayer beads these last few weeks, Maisie?"
Maisie huffed out a disgruntled breath.
"Why, indeed. I'm praying daily for the master's early return, that's what."
"Oh, why's that?"
The housekeeper tossed back her headscarf, narrowing her faded lavender eyes.
Don't play the innocent with me, Miss Laylene.
She folded her chubby arms around her comfortable middle.
Because I don't think my nerves can stand much more of this, that's why.
Lolly twirled a lock of her unbraided hair as she finished the last bite of her breakfast, wiping the honey off her fingers with a napkin beside her plate.
I don't know what you mean,
she said, her tone airy. Maisie rolled her eyes.
Yesterday there was a tornado encircling the house, of sheep no less.
Lolly gave a delicate yawn.
They weren't real sheep, Maisie. And I suppose you'll be saying that the cow hailstones that followed weren't real cows. Of course not. The house is still standing, isn't it? Besides, that would be cruel to cows. Next, you'll be trying to tell me the green and purple fire in the workshop 2 days ago wasn't a real fire either.
Oh, no, Lolly shook her head. That was real, but there's no lasting damage,
she shrugged,
and everything's been put to rights.
And you wonder why I pray for the master's speedy return,
Maisie muttered in a tone heavy with irony.
If you and young Nathaniel don't succeed in killing each other before Harlan gets back, you'll at least have managed to turn every hair on my blessed head white. Every hair that isn't white already, that is.
Dear Maisie, Lolly laid her hand over the housekeeper's as she bent to collect the empty plate.
If we do turn them white, Nate and I will turn them back. Promise.
She smiled in genuine affection.
We'll even make them shining gold ringlets, if you wish it.
You will you?
Maisie cocked an eyebrow.
And it's Nate now, is it?
The housekeeper laid a finger alongside her nose.
I don't recall you ever calling the master's lad that before.
Lolly's cheeks heated, and her gaze fell to the checkered tablecloth.
It's shorter, that's all. Easier to say.
Chuckling, Maisie bustled away with the plate.
Indeed, as you say.
The evening of Harlan's return, Lolly hesitated at the doorway of the small sitting room he often used to relax at day's end. Happy as she was to have her mentor and surrogate father back, yet still she was shy of intruding in what appeared to be a cozy father and son moment. Their matching easy chairs were grouped together by the flickering fire, and both Nathaniel and Harlan held mugs of ale. Watching on, Lolly realized that Nathaniel had grown taller than his father now, his shoulders broader and his voice deeper. The thought transfixed her for a moment, keeping her from moving away.
Where have all the years gone? So many since I arrived here, lost in grieving and far from home.
It jolted her to realize how much Harlan's house felt like a true home these days, overlaying the precious memory of her childhood one. A traitorous thought, surely. And one that was interrupted by Harlan's voice, directed at Nathaniel beside him.
I think you can ease off a bit now, son.
Lolly frowned, leaning against the doorframe. What was Harlan talking about?
Oh, why's that? Nathaniel asked his father. Our Laylene of Serensei is past the worst of her storm of grief and despair by a long shot now, and you know it. Therefore, we can safely say she's in no more danger of laying back down in that field of butterballs and giving up on life than you are.
Harlan fixed his keenly discerning eye upon Nathaniel.
You saw to that the first 6 months she was with us, poking and prodding at her every time she dropped her head. I swear she only kept battling through each day in order to prove you wrong.
Indeed. Nathaniel agreed, amusement coloring his tone. She's a natural scrapper, is what she is.
Yet still, it's become a bit of a bad habit, my thinking, said his father, and one that's no longer required. After all, our Laylene is not a grieving child anymore, but a grown woman, just as you're a man grown.
He smiled, the fondness of a papa coloring his voice and softening his features.
And these days, her natural valor and feisty spirit shine brighter than ever.
Due to the play of light, Lolly couldn't see Nathaniel's expression, but he raised his tankard of ale to his father in a playful salute.
But father, came the droll reply, it's so much fun. Not for poor Maisie, it hasn't been, Harlan commented dryly, a note of reproof creeping in. The pair of you trading fire quite literally terrified her in my absence.
The silhouette of Nathaniel shrugged before taking a pull from the tankard and setting it on his knee.
Yet I promise you, father, never once did it get out of our control, despite all Maisie's flutterings. And besides, he justified, his tone unrepentant, I'm convinced Leyline likes our little sparring sessions just as much as I do. Harlan set his own tankard down on the small round table by his elbow and settled back into the chair. He set his fingertips together while his gray-blue eyes crinkled at the corners, but alight with intelligence, which gleamed over the top of them.
And methinks, my boy, that's not all you like, is it?
The room fell silent, but for a minor rustling of Nathaniel shifting in his chair.
Well, nothing to say for once, Harlan teased. Cat got your tongue, my son?
The shape of Nathaniel finally moved, giving a self-conscious shrug and spreading his hands.
And so? You can't tell me you'd mind such a thing, because I know you wouldn't. In fact, it's no secret you'd like nothing better. Right fond of our Leyline of Serensei you are, and always have been, like she truly is your own daughter.
Harlan nodded in agreement.
Ah, you do have the right of it, Nate. Were the pair of you to make a match, it would please me beyond anything.
His voice took a serious note.
But if those are indeed your intentions towards Leyline, you might want to take some care, you know. Treat her with a little more gentleness and kindness, perhaps.
Don't worry, father, Nathaniel reassured, a smile in his tone before lowering his voice to just above a murmur.
Under it all, Heartsfire and I understand each other's nature perfectly well.
All right, Harlan sighed, conceding. If you say so.
Retrieving his tankard, he nursed it between his hands.
Tell me then instead your opinion about our Leyline's readiness for a sorcerer's sash.
Lolly sucked in a breath as she waited for Nathaniel's response, her heart already beating at a frantic pace from having overheard the previous earth-shaking exchange.
Sure. She's ready for anything. Of course she is.
Nathaniel's voice rang out with such a surprising note of pride and satisfaction, Lolly had to stifle a gasp.
She could take on the world if she wished, and knowing her, she most probably will,
he continued in a tone she had never heard from him before. Surprisingly, he spoke almost in awe. Surely someone of Nathaniel's arrogant nature wasn't even capable of feeling that way towards another. Lolly stood stock still, her arms wrapped around herself, and besides, Nathaniel couldn't be talking about Lolly in such glowing terms. He simply couldn't. She must have got it wrong, that's all. Her mind raced, leaping at possibilities. Or perhaps what she'd gotten wrong all these years had been his underlying motives. She and Nathaniel had always clashed swords, it was true. She'd even grown to enjoy it, as he'd said, to thrive on pitting her wits and her skills against those of a far too arrogant and full of himself boy. True to form, Nathaniel had more than been up to any task Harlan required of them, at the same time taunting Lolly with his outstanding natural abilities. To her everlasting frustration, he rarely ever allowed her room to score a hit off him, whether it be in wordplay or actual weapons training. Had Harlan and Nathaniel been in collusion then? Double-teaming her to get Lolly to battle through her grief to the level of achievement she'd now attained in her training? The sudden realization had the blood stinging her cheeks and filling her with a confusing whirl of emotion. Gratitude, warmth, and validation, warring with anger, resentment, and embarrassment. She'd been managed. That's what she'd been. Maybe for her own good, perhaps even to save her life, yet still, she had been managed all the same. Lolly spun on her heel and stalked silently out. Perhaps it was time she put their stellar training to good use then. In truth, it was past time. She'd been delaying for far too long, and she knew it. And for what? Because she'd been enthralled to a pair of mocking yet beautiful sky blue eyes? That's why. Perhaps she'd even had a secret and deep-seated longing to hear the sort of oblique admissions she'd heard tonight. And now that she had, Lolly tucked her trembling hands in the deep pockets of her gown, gripping at the lining. It was time to exercise the power the pair of sorcerers had trained her to wield before Nathaniel made any more of a fool out of her than he already had. So much of a fool she'd never want to leave the wondrous world of Letharion or Nathaniel's side ever again. Standing in the lamplight, Lolly drew the powerful magic up from the core of her being, like drawing a bucket from a deep well. She imagined the shimmering substance in the bucket as her parents' love and hers for them. Picturing their dear faces, tears streamed from Lolly's eyes, sliding down her cheeks to drip onto the ruffle at the neck of her traveling gown and onto the floorboards of the workshop floor. Little by little, as the surging swell of burgeoning magic drew ever closer to the surface of her being, the air in front of Lolly wavered and shifted, changing quality, becoming shiny, even pearlescent. It glittered around the edges, gradually filling in the space, until finally a fully formed portal appeared, swirling with endless eddies of pure energy and shooting out sparks of awesome power. It was a magnificent rush, forming the gateway between worlds and holding it steady. She'd known for some time that she could do this and do it safely, hugging the knowledge to herself in bed at night before sleep. Lolly had only waited for the right time to go back, to find out once and for all the fate of her parents. All Harlan's queries about them over the years to travelers beyond their world had drawn a blank. So this then was the only way, whether he'd forbidden her to ever try it or not. And now was the right time. She swallowed a strange lump in her throat. It had to be. That's all. Drawing a steadying breath, Lolly stepped nearer. And the portal iced over in a series of lightning-quick snicks, like the sound of glass cracking. What?
Hold, ordered Nathaniel from behind her. Where do you think you're going, bigger than your boots?
Lolly froze, her hand to her throat. How?
The magic woke me.
He sounded good-natured and calm, dangerously so.
Your magic, to be exact, he clarified, wry amusement lacing his voice. To be honest, these days I think its unique imprint could probably tease me out of the deepest coma. Maybe even summon me from a moldering crypt.
Lolly wanted to scream. The resentment of earlier building to a fine head of steam. She bunched her fist by her side.
Who are you, really?
She asked, bitterness coating her tongue.
I swear, I'm not even sure I know who you are anymore.
His booted feet approached until he stood directly behind her.
You know exactly who I am, he uttered low, inches from her ear. Her breath hitched and the pit of her belly quivered.
Do I?
You always have, he insisted in the same velvet purr that was destroying her senses. You wouldn't love or hate me so much if you didn't. She dropped her head, the admission torn from her lips and uttered low.
I don't hate you. I never have, no matter how many times I told you I did.
That's right, he agreed. You don't, just as I don't hate you. He traced a finger over the sensitive nape of her neck, making her shiver. Because you thrill to a challenge. In fact, you're tailor-made for them, Leyline of Serensei. And I know this because we're two of a kind. Are you going to hold it against me that I recognized you the very first day we met? Lolly stared at the iced-over portal, her tone turning belligerent.
Maybe I should.
You overheard us last night, Nathaniel probed, his voice taking on a conversational, matter-of-fact tone. Listening at the keyhole, were you? Lolly stiffened.
And if I did?
Then I'm more than annoyed that you'd leave without even saying goodbye. And not just to me, but to the man who raised you as his own daughter. He almost growled at her, reaching to encircle her waist and dragging her back against his lean, hard form until her heart gave a violent and painful thud.
I'll be coming back, she stammered in a small, pleading voice. So it's not really goodbye.
And that's your excuse for this act of blind folly, is it? He challenged.
Yes.
Liar, he murmured against the side of her throat. You're not sure you're coming back at all. He banded her waist more firmly. Are you? A desperate sob tore her throat, much like the one outside the portal of years before. She swallowed, tasting the saltiness of her own tears.
You're right. I can't be sure, because I don't know what's waiting for me on the other side. If there even is anything waiting for me. But I have to try anyway, Nate, because I've got to know.
The words tore out of her, rough-edged with heart-scoring pain.
Once and for all.
I know that, but what you should have done is to talk to us about it first. His bitter complaint goaded her, until struggling in his hold, she managed to turn in his arms.
I couldn't, don't you see? Otherwise, I'd never actually go. I'd look into your stupid mocking eyes and never want to leave this place.
He cupped the back of her head, his forehead pressing firmly against hers and his gaze dropping to her lips. Oh-ho. But it's you with the bespelling eyes, little witch. She choked out a sound of longing, capitulation and despair all mixed in together. But closing the short distance, he swallowed it, melding his mouth to hers and setting off a wild and primal magic, the wildest and most potent they'd ever made, separately or together. Long moments passed in a blur of dizzy happiness, a whole new world where there was no burden of childhood grief, no destruction and pain, only bliss and endless golden days. Lolly pulled back.
If only.
Nathaniel looked down at her, still taller, still older and insufferably smug, but surely with the most utterly biteable lips Lolly had ever seen or tasted.
Let's start again, shall we? He said calmly. I think there was something you wanted to talk to me about, Leyline, my love.
Lolly drew in a breath, laying her palm against his cheek.
Nathaniel mine, I'm going back. I have to. I owe it to my parents to find out once and for all whether they're alive or dead.
he took her hand in his and pressed a burning kiss into the center of it.
"Is that so?" He cradled the hand in both of his own. "Well then, heart's fire, I'm going with you."
Her mouth dropped open, but he shook his head, eyeing her in a stern manner.
"No buts. I didn't bully you into shape all these years, only for you to up and leave me, did I?"
He threaded his fingers between hers. "So if you're taking on the world, love, I'm playing too."
"But your father..."
"We'll understand, believe it or not," he finished for her.
"He's a wily customer, he is. No doubt he's been expecting you to try something like this any time this last year or so. And catching you in the act, he'd naturally expect me to accompany you."
His eyebrows lowered into a scowl.
"Besides, now I'm coming, we'll do him the courtesy of leaving him a message." Lolly's gaze dropped, and she raised a placating hand to Nathaniel's chest, toying with the laces of his shirt.
"I did leave word," she murmured. "You'd have found my letters later."
Nathaniel growled and clasped her hand in a strong grip.
"Even still."
He concentrated his magic on the workbench, where a feathered quill danced across a page, shooting off a trail of sparks in its wake.
"We'll leave him a different one, won't we?" His lips firmed. "As well as a solemn pledge, or two. Firstly, that I'll look after you."
"That we'll look after each other,"
Lolly corrected, nudging him.
"Okay, fine. Each other. And secondly, that we'll do our utmost to come back speedily."
Lolly nodded.
"Yes, because your father and Maisie are my family now, too. Not to mention that I know how it feels to be left alone, cut off from your dear ones."
Nathaniel tipped up her chin in a surprisingly tender gesture, smoothed away the drying tears on her cheeks with his thumbs.
"Yes, you do, don't you?"
Finally, here was the acknowledgement of Lolly's pain that the scornful boy had never once given her. This new and surprising compassion from the fully grown man settled around her heart, like the soft warmth of a fur-lined cloak around thin shoulders. Lolly took a precious moment to appreciate it before Nathaniel turned away to gather his and Lolly's traveling satchel from where his had suddenly joined hers at the foot of the bench. He set his hands on her shoulders and, smiling, leaned down over her.
"Now then, let's go in style, shall we?"
Lolly raised her lips to his.
"Yes, let's."
Embracing, their lips pressed together, and hearts afire with humming magic, they flashed through the now open portal.